Tuesdays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan, and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh, my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Good afternoon! And welcome into our final hour on our finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix. Jeff and Taylor on the microphones. We've got Mannix versus Mannix brought to you by Town Fair Tire to close it out. We'll have Murphy's Hockey Law with Jimmy Murphy from the Sick Podcast, the Eye Test, and RG Media coming up at 1:30. Right now, though, Portland Hearts of Pine have a big USL League One showdown at Fitzpatrick Stadium here in Portland this weekend against the second-place team in the league standings at the moment and the team that ended their playoff run a year ago. Spokane Velocity is coming into town to take on Portland Hearts of Pine tomorrow evening at 6:30. And here to talk about that with us, we welcome back the head coach of Portland Hearts of Pine, Bobby Murphy. Bobby, thanks for sharing some time with us once again ahead of a busy stretch in the schedule. How are things with you, sir?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on board here. And the recent run of play for the club has not been too bad. Three matches without a defeat now for you in league. It's two draws in a row. How do you feel like things are going right now for the club?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, it's been a good rebound since the Fort Wayne game. You know, we've battled back. And listen, we've talked about it over and over. Like, we're moments away from being really good, which, you know, that and, you know, $3 will get you a cup of coffee. But we're right there. And so, you know, you go back to the goal we gave up last week. It's people switching off and not doing their jobs when we've been over it and, you know, taking responsibility for that. And, you know, it's those little moments right now that are holding us back. And, you know, we've just got to clean those up and we should be okay.
Yeah, as Jeff mentioned, Coach, some really good play unbeaten in three, and you mentioned it since that Fort Wayne game. I saw the comments you made after it might have been Rhode Island, where you talked about the karaoke situation. Just first of all, I mean, kudos to you, man. Like, as someone who admires you as a coach, like as a fan, that's awesome to see that you continue to bring this group together in moments of adversity. How do you feel this team has responded from that? Because I loved how you put it, basically, that kind of taught everybody how to maybe pick each other up a little bit. In the three games since, you've responded pretty well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think coming out of the Fort Wayne, you know, it was obviously in my time here, like, I don't know, the lowest point, you know, it was embarrassing. It was frustrating. It was all those things, because, you know, we're trying to build something here that is sort of bigger than all of us. Right. And in terms of the responsibility and the characteristics that people have to have to wear the shirt and to wear the badge and to represent this community. And, you know, I felt after Fort Wayne, we really sort of, let everybody down, let ourselves down. It's okay to lose games. It happens, but you can't do it in that sort of manner ever, you know. And I think one thing we've learned about the fans here, you know, they're smart enough to know that it's not always going to go your way, but they'll always back you if you give 100%. And, you know, I don't think any of us could look ourselves in the mirror after that and say, yeah, that was the best we could do, you know. So to come out of that was to kind of like – really sort of, one, identify those things and really make it clear of what I expect. And then to really find a way to, you know, in bad times, you know, we got to rally together. And, you know, I think one thing about stuff like karaoke or, you know, even bowling or, you know, I took a couple guys to the driving range yesterday to talk and hit balls. You know, anything that makes people vulnerable and takes them out of their comfort zone, now, you know, that's a big thing. And it requires, you know, trust of the people around you to make yourself vulnerable. And I think whether that's emotionally or with playing, you know, you've got to have that trust of the people around you. So karaoke seemed like a good vehicle to do that, to get people out of their comfort zone and you know, let them step up, you know, just be vulnerable and let the group rally around them. And I think it's, you know, you've seen it that they have been closer together. And I think, you know, we're still building toward that. And now we just got to add some, you know, finish out some games.
Well, talking about kind of the culture that you're trying to build here with this club, and as you talk about too, fan expectation, and we know that the Hearts of Pine fan base is really into it, as you talk about here, and you've coached at a lot of different levels as well. I'm interested from you, now that you know you're into this a little more than a year, you understand the fan base is as passionate as it is. Is there any more pressure? Because we talk about managerial pressure all the time in this sport. Do you feel any extra pressure now than maybe you did when you first took this job?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's definitely times where, you know, I mean, it's funny, right? You finish, you know, you go to the semifinals, you're moments away from going to a final, and you want to improve on that, and there's not a lot of ceiling to improve on that, you know, but a lot of room below that to, you know, and the way the game is, like, this league is difficult. You got to have a lot of things go your way. You know, as we talked about, we're moments away from being in third place, but we're not, and that's just the reality. We've got to embrace that. And yeah, and I think sometimes, to my detriment, I take this stuff personally, letting people down and letting the fan base down, and that affects me a little bit at times. And I've got to sort of disassociate my passion, which is this club and my profession, from who I am at times, you know, because if you get them too wrapped up, you know, people have like jobs and then they have passions, if that makes sense. You know, like your job might be this, but your passion is painting, you know, so you get to have two outlets. Mine, for whatever reason, is all rolled into one. And, you know, that can, you know, you can get in your own head at times with that, but you just got to get back to basics and realize that what happens in the locker room and with the players is the most important thing. And if you get them, you know, doing the very best they can, then I'll live with the consequences of that.
Yeah, and Coach, obviously a little bit of disappointment the last time you saw Spokane, and you kind of referenced it with that semifinal matchup, 2-2 goes into the extras, but you guys did the last time you played them here, 6-1. I'll tell you right now, as someone who was at the game with my brother, a lot of beer spilt in celebrations when you guys score 6 goals, especially the way you did at Fort Fitzy in that game back on October 21st of last year. But once again, Spokane, 20 points, very, very good team. All jokes aside, how are you guys preparing to face this Spokane Velocity team that has been very consistent in USL League One over the past few seasons?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we're trying to do is we're going to try and be us. We're going to be on the front foot. We're going to try and make them uncomfortable, try and get the fans on our side early and make this, you know, a difficult place and you know, stay in the game, you know, with where we're at with injuries and everything else. Like, we don't have a ton of goals on the field, so we've got to make sure that we don't allow anything and keep it tight and, you know, take our chances when they come. But I think the boys are excited and we're up for it.
Absolutely. And you did mention one word I wanted to ask a little bit about is injuries, because they're starting to mount up. This happens at this time of the year during a soccer season, but it looks like you're starting to be, I guess, the best word to put it is stretched in your lineup decisions.
Yeah, it's been that way all year, you know. I mean, it's preseason, you know, we had a bunch of injuries and we struggled to get a rhythm, and you could see that early on in some games. And then you lose Sashi, and, you know, you lose 10 goals in Sashi, and then Titus has been in and out. And, you know, Titus and Mikey Lopez just had knee surgery this week, so Titus is out for at least 3 to 4 months. Mikey's out for at least 6 weeks. You know, those are big losses, both on the field and in the locker room. You know, so it just is what it is. Like, you've just got to next man up and stand firm and be ready to contribute. And, you know, everybody's got to do a little bit more to pull together. And, you know, it's one of these things that's frustrating, and it's, you're sad for the guys because they put a lot into this, but at the same time, you know, we have a job to do and we can't, nobody cares. The world doesn't care, right? They only care about, you know, us doing our part. So we got to sort of buck up here and be ready to go.
Yeah, and you mentioned next man up. One guy who's really impressed me so far, anytime you put him in, is Tyler Huck, the Bowdoin kid. Watching him in that game up close and personal last weekend at Fort Fitzy, man, when he rung the post like that, I was standing right behind all of his Bowdoin, it looked like, teammates. Boy, the look on their face. I think all of us thought, Coach, that thing, especially from our vantage point in the zoo, looked like it was going in. But what has he brought to the team? It feels like at any time the ball's on his foot, and especially in a high-danger area, he can strike it better than anybody.
Yeah, he's got goals in him for sure. You know, he proved that in college, and you know, he's been a great kid, and I think he's a testament to, like, you know, if you've got good feet and good brains, there's a place for you. You know, he's a smart kid. You know, he's got good feet. He understands the game. He listens. You know, and I think he's one of those kids that he's just a good soccer player. We could probably play him in six or seven different spots, and you know, he's smart enough that he could figure it out and survive. And so, you know, to his credit, you know, he came in as a favor. They're like, can he come and train? And we were like, sure. And then, you know, the more we watched him, the more we liked him. And, you know, he's been juggling coming down here from school, training in the morning, rushing back to get to class. You know, it's been a busy stretch for him. And then, obviously, you know, I thought about not even starting him because of graduation and how, what a busy and emotional day that would have been. But he said, no, I'm ready to go. And, you know, I thought he did great. So he's one that we've, you know, probably weren't thinking would contribute as much as he has, but he's done really, really well.
Yeah, certainly seems to be. And that story, of course, coming from a local Division III school, we're not normally talking about a lot of Division III talent that is able to be sucked into USL League One. But what does that say, at least, about Tyler as a person and the program that Scott Wierzynski has put together at Bowdoin College, that it can produce pro players?
Yeah, I think, you know, Scott deserves a lot of credit, you know, and that's not the easiest, you know, those NESCAC schools, you know, I mean, obviously academically very rigid, and then, you know, because the academics are such a priority that, you know, it's not, they get a ton of time in the spring to work with them. So Tyler, you know, obviously spent a lot of time on his own, you know, in the off season and all that. And, you know, I think it just goes to show in this country there's players everywhere, you know, and the difference between some of our guys being in the championship is probably who sees them on a given day. The difference between Tyler playing at Bowdoin or playing Division One, you know, maybe have come down to preference on his point or who saw him on a given day. You know, there's just players everywhere. So, but we're grateful to have him.
Yeah, and another guy, Coach, who I think a lot of the fans are starting to take to, especially the Dear Go Union with the new chant they have for him, is Joshua Drack. What have you seen from him? Obviously, five starts here in the last few games, and it seems like he just is starting to become such a threat, especially in the offensive end. Obviously, he brings a lot defensively, but when you guys are starting to build, he just seems like the runs he makes just create chaos for a defense.
Yeah, you know, we like to get people coming from deep, and, you know, obviously when we lost Nathan at the beginning of the year, you know, that was a hole that we were trying to fill, because Nathan, you know, was such a big part of what we did last year. And, you know, they're similar, both of them, that they were, you know, attacking players in college who have been converted into defenders, you know, at the pro level. And so I remember watching Josh's first game ever at left back. It was in a MLS combine game in Kansas City, at Sporting Kansas City, and thinking, well, there might be something there to him. You know, this is 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, you know, to see Josh really continue to grow and develop, and he's just such a great kid, great personality, fits right in the locker room, you know. And I think the way he plays is the way he is as a person, just smiling and happy and outgoing. And, you know, I think he'll continue to contribute as he gets more comfortable and gets settled here during the course of the year.
Need to ask you about goalkeeper Hunter Morse here as well, because he became one of very, very few goalkeepers now to make 100 saves with the same club in USL League One history, a milestone he hit last time out against Greenville. I know he's been the brick wall back there for sure, as everybody likes to call him, but he must be a joy to be coaching on a day-to-day basis and have him there backstopping this team.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a great stat or a bad stat, but yeah, congratulations to him making that many saves. But if we're allowing that many shots, but Hunter, you know, when he came, he was a really good shot stopper. He's always been a really good shot stopper. I think what Utah's really worked with him on is his overall goalkeeping game. His feet have improved. His decision making with the ball has improved. You know, his ability on crosses has improved. He's really grown into, yeah, a really solid all-around goalkeeper. You know, I think probably one of the best in the league, and, you know, could probably play up in the championship, but, you know, But I think, you know, he's a credit to, like, I think, you know, he's one of the ones that the community can take credit for, you know, because he was on a one-year contract last year and thought he would just be here for a year then move on. And, you know, he loved it so much that he wanted to stay. And, you know, we're all grateful for that. But I think, you know, it's one that everybody can take credit for that he's still here. You know, it's not just us as a club, but, you know, his girlfriend's here. She's settled and happy. He's happy. You know, so everybody can take a little pride in that.
Yeah, and another guy who's a holdover from last year that fans love is JT Kamara. How has his role been working for you? I know subbed in the last couple of games against Greenville and Rhode Island. How's his season gone in the eyes of you, Coach? And where do you see his role getting a little bit bigger, especially, as you mentioned, with Titus Washington maybe being out moving forward and Mikey Lopez for extended time? Do you think Kamara is going to maybe have a little bit of a bigger role for you guys moving forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think JT has a really unique skill set, you know, his ability to run at people and take people on. You know, I think the challenge for JT at times is knowing when to use it, you know, when to pass, when to dribble. You know, when you beat a guy once, do you have to come back and beat him again? Or can you be a little more direct with it? You know, I think, you know, when he's at his most exciting is when he's running forward at people, not, you know, there's times where he gets caught sort of standing still, trying to beat somebody from a standing still, and that's harder for him. But, you know, we actually did, he was top speed guy this week, you know, so he's quick and, you know, when he gets up to speed. So, listen, he's dangerous. You know, he's got to continue to be dangerous. You know, the challenge for him will always be at times the against the ball stuff and not switching off, you know, against the ball. But I think he's growing in that and he's taking that a little more seriously. So, listen, we're really proud of the strides he's made in the last 2 years. And, yeah, I think he'll be a big part for us moving forward.
Yeah, and one guy who's definitely been a big part of it is Ollie Wright, up to 4 goals now on the season in USL League One. He's been a USL League One Player of the Week already this year. It looks like his game has taken some strides here this year. How do you think his game has grown from last year to this season?
Yeah, I think Ollie would admit that, you know, his definition of success has changed over the last couple of seasons, especially last year. You know, players, you know, young, exciting players like him might have, you know, he's admitted this to me, that to find success is megging one or two players, you know. But at the end of the day, that doesn't win games, you know. So he's really focused on having an impact beyond just, you know, the little things that he can do, you know, against the ball, bringing other people into it, set pieces. Grinding at times. I thought, you know, and it probably went unnoticed, but the defensive shift that he put in at Omaha, you know, for somebody who doesn't like to defend was really, really admirable. You know, he gave everything he had. And I think, you know, that's a maturity process that he's gone through and understands that, you know, that being a solid pro means results and winning games and not doing, you know, cute stuff that doesn't really show up on, you know, in the point totals. So I give him credit for that, and you know, he deserves all his accolades.
Yeah, and another guy, 24 starts for you last year, Coach, Kamali Green. I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention him, because he just seems like someone who is in your team sheet every single day, and it goes back to last year. What is that trust and relationship like with him? It clearly, I mean, you put him on there every day on the team sheet for a reason. I'd just love to hear the perspective of you on what allows you to have this much trust in such a great player.
Yeah, now Kamali, you know, when I first met him, you know, he was kind of under everybody's radar. You know, he didn't really have any anywhere else. He's a super smart kid. He's got a degree in finance. Was weighing, do I play pro soccer? Do I just go get a job? And, you know, he came up here, and, you know, he's probably our best soccer player. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, passing range, passing abilities, seeing things, understanding the game, super smart. So, you know, he grew a lot last year. I think, you know, he would admit having Sega next to him last year was a huge learning curve for him about what it means to be, like, sort of a nasty defender. And, you know, because Kamali can be a little finesse at times. So he learned a lot, you know, and to Kamali's credit, like, he took on those lessons. You know, he's smart enough to listen to Sega, smart enough to learn. And now he's sort of been the glue. You know, I think we have 3 really talented center backs with Prince and Breck as well. But I think Kamali's been sort of the glue that between the 3 of them, you know, in terms of his communication, his reading of the game, you know, his understanding. He's just a really good soccer player, and we're really lucky that, you know, that we, well, Yeah, lucky that we found him and were able to get him here.
Absolutely. And, of course, this Spokane match is the one in front of you here, but it is going to be a busy week after that, a midweek match at Corpus Christi FC with a couple of original Hearts of Pine players in Pat Langlois as well as Jake Keegan on that roster. And then a USL Cup match against Brooklyn next Sunday on the road with you guys at the moment currently atop your group. Of course, Spokane is the focus here, but what sorts of things are you starting to think about those matches, if at all?
Yeah, no, we want to get, because of all the injuries and people out, you know, like the lineup is in the 18 sort of picking itself. So we've got to deal with one thing at a time and, do our best tomorrow night to get 3 points, and then we'll deal with Corpus, and then, you know, we'll see where we're at for when we go to Brooklyn. It's going to be a long trip. We're going to be on the road from Tuesday till Sunday night. After the game, we fly back. We're going to go. I'm actually going to take all the boys from Corpus up to my old hometown. We're going to take them to Austin for 2 days to train and show them some of the sites around Austin and, feed them some barbecue, toughen them up a little bit. But, it's a long week, you know, and I think with where we're at, like, usually you'd like to have the luxury of having 23, 24 guys available so you can rotate and bring guys in as needed. But listen, we're at a place right now where we've probably got 18 healthy bodies, and we've just got to man up and be ready to go and be ready to cope with whatever comes our way. And, you know, some guys who haven't gotten a chance, you know, we'll probably get a chance this week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we tell them when you get your opportunity, your job is to make my life hard, you know, make my life miserable of having to pick you the next time, you know, make it difficult. So we'll see how guys respond to that. But first things first.
Yeah, no, Coach, you mentioned, I mean, you guys got to get the barbecue in the Red River District, man, when you get to Austin. That's where it's at, right?
Yeah, I'm a Cooper's guy. Like, all right. Yeah, I'm a Cooper's guy. Some people are, you know, Terry Blacks. I'm a Cooper's guy because they give you free beans, free jalapenos, free white bread. So that's all I need.
I was going to say, there you go. I'm sold too. I'll have to check it out anytime I get back down to Texas. I haven't been now in about 3 years, and I was only in Dallas for a little bit. I ended up in East Texas anytime I go visit there, so it's more like crawfish when you get to that part of
behind the state. Behind the piney woods, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, spending time down there. But I got to ask
you. Have you seen that documentary, Hands on the Hard Body?
I haven't yet.
It's old. I think Matthew McConaughey did it as a film project at UT, but it's basically about this Ford dealership in East Texas that does a drawing, and everybody has to keep their, like, the six people who win the drawing have to keep their hands on a hard body Ford truck for 55 minutes of every hour. Then they get a half hour break, like, every 12 hours. The last person with their hand on it wins the truck. It's hilarious. Yeah.
That's actually a fun competition to enter. You get a free truck, right?
If you
win,
indeed.
So.
Yeah, but there's some twists and turns in it, but yeah,
that's awesome.
It's a whole other world behind the Piney Curtain out there in East Texas.
It is, man. Now, Wascom's where a good friend of mine from the military is at, so I've spent some time at Wascom and Shreveport quite a bit, man. It's a different world down there.
Yeah, down in Tyler, and yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, look. Speaking of Group 5, too, I know Jeff mentioned it. You guys have the 4 points tied on the top. Is there a level, I don't want to call it comfort, but to be in that position now, and I know especially after last year and even dropping out of the Open Cup early, it must feel nice to be in a position where you can actually look at, hey, we have a chance to win this group.
Yeah, I think it's something, you know, we talked about wanting to be more competitive in this competition. I think last year, you know, the way the games fell, it just, you know, the priority being the league, it was difficult. So, you know, hopefully we can get a result tomorrow night, get a result Wednesday. And then Tuesday, you go into Sunday just feeling like you're playing with house money and nothing really to lose because you're top of the group and feeling good. So we're going to, you know, that's our hope for that week.
All right. Bobby Murphy is the head coach and sporting director of Portland Hearts of Pine. Again, they host Spokane Velocity tomorrow night at Fitzpatrick Stadium at 6:30. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night. Best of luck.
All right, thanks. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Again, Bobby Murphy, head coach of Portland Hearts of Pine. We will head to the ice. We'll discuss things with Jimmy Murphy. He'll be here for Murphy's Hockey Law coming up next. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix.